unto him. So there in Romans chapter 7, hopefully you're there, or Romans chapter 12, verse 7, if you will. Hopefully you're there here this evening and looking forward to the message tonight. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, the Bible says this, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, what a privilege it is to be in your house. We do thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, or what a privilege it is just to own a copy of your word. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that there was many people, Lord, through my life that have taught me the Bible, and many people that I still glean from today that are still teaching, and Lord, ones that I can learn from. And Lord, I do thank you that, Lord, that you are the great teacher. Lord, you're the one who can teach us these things and show us exactly why your word says what it says and how that applies to us. But Lord, I pray that as we go through this gift of the Spirit tonight, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts, and maybe in this very room tonight, maybe you will let someone know that their spiritual gift tonight is the gift of teaching. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would have our ears open to you, and Lord, that we would be ready to just follow you, Lord, wherever that path may take us. And Lord, just trusting you and knowing that you're going to sustain us through it all. Lord, we do thank you for coming and dying on the cross for us. And if there's anyone here that has not trusted you, I pray they'd come to know you tonight. Be with the kids program downstairs as well, Lord. And I pray that the young people would draw closer to you. And I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in Romans chapter 7, of course, we see the word there, teacheth and teaching. We see those words there in that verse. I want to give you a couple other verses I'm going to turn to as we get started. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're going to go over to the book of Ephesians as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 27 and 28. And then we'll go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 and 28, the Bible says this, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." So notice there in the middle of that verse, it says teachers as one of the gifts there. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And the Bible says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Just for context sake, we'll go ahead and read verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, notice there through both of those passages that we just read, we see teachers or teaching there. We see in also there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7 as well. It says, "Or he that teacheth on teaching." So we're talking tonight about this the gift of the Spirit of teaching. Now, over the last several weeks, we've been discussing the past gifts of the Spirit, ones that God used for the purpose of validating the ministry of the disciples and the apostles as they were working for the Lord. And, of course, that was before the Word of God was completed. We have the completed Word of God, and no matter what man tries to say, no matter how far man tries to stray from the truth and all of that, we as English-speaking people, we have the Word of God that's been preserved for us and translated into the King James Version Bible. And praise the Lord, I am thankful to have a Word of God, aren't you, tonight? And praise the Lord, we have that. There's many people that do not have the Word of God, but we have it. And praise the Lord for that. So we talked about what God, how He used those past gifts of the Spirit before the Word of God was complete. We talked about prophecy. We talked about prophets and healing and miracles. We talked about tongues and interpretations of tongues. And then even before that, we talked about what the gifts of the Spirit mean to us and how we as believers, we should not be neglecting our gifts. We should be fervently searching for our gift, asking the Lord, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What gift have you given me that I can use to serve you and to build up the church?" So we talked about those past gifts. And then we started talking last week about the present gifts of the Spirit. And we started out with the gift of the pastor, and we discussed how there were certain qualifications for the pastor, certain terms that the Bible used for pastor, and how each one of those are talking about the pastor of the church, and speaking of elder and the under shepherd and bishop and ones like that. We also discussed the heart of the pastor. We discussed how the heart of the pastor should react and how it should be towards people. A pastor should love people and love what God has called him to do. And that should all stem out of the pastor's love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, for some men, they have the spiritual gift of the pastor. And if that is you here tonight, then allow the Lord to stir that gift up. And what we're going to be talking about tonight with this gift of teaching, this is something that every pastor must have. They must be able to teach. We know that in the book of 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, he said that ye may teach others also, of course, talking about the doctrines of Scripture. So a pastor should be able to teach. We should allow the Lord to stir up the gifts inside of us. We should allow God to do a work inside of us that only He can do. But the only way that we can do that is if we're completely yielded to Him. So as we talk about this gift here tonight of the teacher, this is a gift, of course, just as these present gifts that we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks, as all of these are, but especially this gift of the teacher, it is alive and well. And there are many, though, who claim to teach that may not have the gift of teaching. But if you do have the gift of teaching and you're not using it, then your gift will become stale. The gift of teaching is a gift that, of course, as I mentioned, all pastors should have as well. They're in 1 Timothy, so pastors should be a teacher. But there are many people who are teachers but are not pastors. So what should a teacher do? If we have the gift of teaching, then what is our main goal? Maybe the Lord has given you the gift of teaching and instructing others in the doctrines of the Bible, instructing others in the truths of God's Word. Maybe the Lord is working in your heart in that way. So what should be your main goal? Well, notice number one there, the goal of the teacher, the goal of the teacher. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28, verse 16, very familiar passage. And one that is quoted from often and should be, of course, in a Bible preaching church, because it's what God has told all of us to do. And Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 through 20, the Bible says this: Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So twice there in that passage, we see that Christ tells us to teach all nations, and then he says, teaching them to observe all things. A teacher should be someone who is teaching for the benefit of someone else. A teacher is not doing it for themselves. A teacher is one who constantly pours in to other people. When a person is teaching, the way that they are supposed to be teaching is to build up others rather than to build up themselves. And that's exactly what the Bible says about the gift of the Spirit, isn't it? When we look at the gift of the Spirit, it talks about how it's supposed to be for the edifying of the church. It is supposed to be constructive. We discussed that in the beginning of the study there. And so teaching, notice when you teach someone, your goal should never be so that someone will say, wow, they were a great teacher. Now, we should always do our best, of course, because we are doing it for God. Everything that a believer does, a believer is to do for God. Therefore, we should do our best. But our goal should be to bring honor and glory to God Almighty. So our goal should be to build others up in the nurture and admonition of Christ. So think about this tonight. When you think about a teacher, you think about a teacher who is someone who tries to teach truth to you, someone who is trying to help you along the way. A teacher should be the guardian of truth. But boy, we see something different in public schools today, don't we? They're not trying to teach the truth. They're trying to teach what man's ideas are. It shouldn't be that way. And unfortunately, we have made our way into that same philosophy, that same mindset in many churches today. In many churches, it's not about what the Bible says anymore. In many churches, it's not about what's right and what's wrong. It's about what makes man feel good. Can I tell you this? If there's someone they're in those churches and they claim to be the pastor, or they claim to be a teacher in one of those churches, they are doing a disservice to God with the spiritual gift that He's given them because they are not teaching the truth. Lord, help us. The goal of a teacher should be to build someone else up in the truth of the Bible. A teacher, think about what a teacher does, of course, in secular teaching. It should be true in biblical teaching as well. A teacher should define the truth. A teacher should describe the truth. A teacher should take time to explain the truth. And then also, unashamedly, declare that truth to the students. It doesn't matter what the students think about it, if it's the truth. There are many things in our nation's history that people try to erase. They say, well, we don't need to teach that anymore because people don't need to hear that. Well, the truth of the matter is those who fail to study history are destined to repeat it. I understand there's things in our nation's history that we are not proud of. There's things in our nation's history that were not done the way that they should have been done. But that doesn't mean we should just wipe them off and no one should know about those things. Because if we don't learn from those things, then we're going to walk right back into those things. Many times when it comes to the Bible, that's exactly what we do. You know, there's many churches that will not open to the Old Testament. They say, well, that's the teachings of them. Well, I don't know about you, but as we went through the study of the book of Exodus, each and every time the Bible was open, and every single verse that I read, and just about every single word of those verses, it was like I was looking in a mirror. And the just the way that that my heart tries to go against God and my flesh tries to do my own thing. And when I study the Old Testament, and of course the New Testament as well, but as you study the whole Bible, what you're going to find is people have always been dealing with this. How did they get through that? By hearing the truth of the Word of God. Understanding what God had to say. We should unashamedly declare the truth to the students or to the hearers. We live in a world that's afraid to speak the truth. But in reality, if someone will not declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, then they're a sorry excuse for a teacher. Lord, help us. Maybe you're here and you believe that your spiritual gift is that of the teacher. Understand this simple yet profound truth that the goal of every teacher of the Word of God should be to declare God's Word clearly and simply to the ear of the hearer. Now that is, of course, done in many different ways. If I was to teach to a class, of course, Bailey is downstairs. I was looking for her. This is Abby. This isn't Bailey, okay? My mind is wrapped around this now. Bailey is downstairs. She just started teaching a class to the 4 and 5 year olds during junior church time. And Abby helps her out, and Miss Judy helps her out as well. And I do not preach to 4 and 5 year olds the way that I preach to adults. Why? Because they don't comprehend certain things. But there's a different way to impart the exact same truth to them. You see, a teacher needs to understand who they are teaching, who they are speaking to, who they are teaching, and they need to understand that it is their job to clearly communicate that truth to the hearer. That's what a teacher should do. Many people have strayed so far from that. You see, the Bible declares that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must teach the Word of God. You know, when we go out and knock on doors, when we go out, we'll knock on a door, someone answers the door, and we let them know where we're from. Maybe we start out after we talk with them for a little bit. We may go into our personal testimony, ask them if they go to church anywhere, whatever it may be. But the truth of the matter is, during that conversation there, the Word of God should be the main point of that conversation. It's not about what we feel or what we did or what happened here. No, it's about this is what the Bible says. And someone told me that the Bible declares that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we walk them through what the Word of God says, because when we go out there, we are in essence trying to teach people what the Word of God says. We need to know how to do that clearly. That should be something that we are honing in on over and over and over again. Every single time I knock on a door, can I tell you this? My flesh doesn't want to be there. It doesn't want to be. When I go up and knock on a door, you know what's going on in the back of my mind? I wonder how this door is going to be open. I wonder if this door is going to be slammed. I wonder if this person is going to be mad. But the truth of the matter is this. We are told to go ye therefore and teach all nations. We're to tell them what the Word of God says. And we must understand that it is our job as the children of God to clearly communicate the Word of God to this lost and dying world. And then also to teach others also, of course, knowing that is the evangelizing the lost, but also strengthening the brethren. That is our job as a teacher. So first of all, we see the goal of the teacher. Notice, second of all, here the characteristics of a teacher. The characteristics of a teacher. As we think of a teacher, we must understand that a teacher can only, notice this here, a teacher can only teach that which they already know. That's it. You know, it's interesting to me, you start talking to someone about the Bible, and you can find out in about two sentences whether they know what they're talking about. You can quickly pick up on that. And I'm not saying that if someone's not polished in their speech that they don't know the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But there's certain key phrases you're going to pick up on. When someone says, yes, I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Ding, ding, ding. That's the right answer. Amen. You can pick up on those certain things. But the truth of the matter is, a person can only teach what they already know. If a school was looking to hire a science teacher, they wouldn't look in the history department. If they were looking to hire someone to teach science, they wouldn't go to the math class or be checking with the English teaching staff. No, they would be looking for ones who know science. That is common sense. Therefore, when we're searching for someone to teach the Bible, we are to look for someone who knows what the Bible teaches, because someone who has never read the Bible cannot accurately teach the Bible. But there's an awful lot of people out there that try to start ministries and try to start these crusades and those types of things, and they have no idea what the Bible says. No idea at all. Shouldn't be that way. A teacher should know what they are to be teaching. And it's something that each and every one of us, myself included, we have to grow in that. We have to study to show thyself approved. We have to understand that there are certain things in the Bible. It's going to be a little harder to understand certain things. You read through the book of Ezekiel and somebody will come up and ask me, hey, what does this mean? And I'll say, when you find out, you let me know. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Amen. There's just some things that are like that, but we should be given to the Word of God. To be a teacher, notice a letter A there. To be a teacher, let me see. I don't know if I have this. I may have put this, gotten these mixed up here. No, I did not. To be a teacher of the Word of God, this is still under number two, the characteristics of a teacher. To be a teacher of the Word of God, a person must love the Word of God. We must fall in love with the Word of God. This should be our go-to book. Whether it's in the morning you do your devotions, or in the evening, maybe it's midday, maybe throughout the day, you have some scripture cards that you read over, whatever it may be, but this should be our go-to book. We should fall in love with the Word of God. Isn't it true that what a person loves, they talk about? You know what I found over this past couple of weeks? Our town loves the Eagles. And no matter where you go, there is all sorts of things going on. There's banners about the Eagles and all kinds of things. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and as I was talking to him, he puts out a podcast, and the podcast is a great help to me. And as I was talking to him, we were talking about his assistant pastor and just ones, different ones around the ministry there. And I know from listening to the podcast, his assistant pastor down in North Carolina is a diehard Eagles fan. And you know what you find is people that love the Eagles, what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about the Eagles. The ones who love different sports teams, that's what they're going to talk about because that is what they love. Think about it with sports or with politics. There was an awful lot of chatter going on today about politics because of the State of the Union address and all of those sorts of things. And listen to me closely. I'm not saying it's wrong to talk about sports. I'm not saying it's wrong to discuss politics. But the truth of the matter is we should never be more in love with those things than we are with the Word of God, because we could talk for hours upon hours about how, well, I didn't agree with this this person said, or what that person said, or how this person did this, or how that person did that, and we go on for hours and hours and hours, and our blood pressure's up to here, and we got all of these things that are literally hurting us physically because we're all out of been out of shape because of what these people said, and yet we forget what we even read in the Word of God that morning. Lord, help us. We should be in love with the Word of God. We should know what the Word of God says. If someone is teaching sports education, they're going to know about sports, or political speaking, they're going to know about what they're teaching there. And what you're going to find, there is no greater way to learn something than to teach something. No greater way. Now, you go into teaching a class, and can I put it to you this way? You go into teaching a class, and you're going to have all of your notes together and all of that, and everything looks like it's smooth sailing, and then you get about halfway through the class, and you realize there is so much more you didn't know. You teach through something, guess what? You learn things. You go out soul winning, you know what you're going to learn? You're going to learn about other religions and what their beliefs are, and whether it's grace or whether it's works, and whether they trace their faith back to a certain man, or whether they trace it back to Christ, and all of those things. Because as you go out and as you learn these things, as you're striving to teach people, you're going to be learning yourself. But there's going to be many times, even though you go through your preparation for your teaching, you do a lot of studying and all of that, you want to teach people the right truth, of course, out of the Bible, but yet sometimes someone's going to ask you a question and you have to swallow your pride and say three words. I don't know. I don't know. It's amazing some people's faces when you say that. You say, well, what does this mean in the Bible? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. But let's study it together and figure it out. Amen. There are some things that that we just don't know. But saying those three words, swallowing our pride, and saying those things are going to encourage you to find out the answer for next time it's asked. It's going to help you. A teacher of the Word of God must love the Word of God. Also, they must love reading and studying as well. Something I've found to be true is that when I am studying for something, and even this message here about the teacher, when I was studying for this message, what I found myself doing is digging into it, and I had my Bible and my commentaries and Strong's Concordance and searching historical things and all of that. And many times when I go to study something and I am looking at that one topic there, or that one truth, I find myself digging myself way down into truths about this. And what you're going to find is as you're writing this out, you say, there's no way I can fit this into 40 or 45 minutes. There's just no way. And sometimes it goes into that second sermon and that third sermon or whatever it may be. But the truth of the matter is this. When you love reading and studying God's Word, you're going to find yourself enjoying digging into those truths. But a teacher must be careful, especially a teacher of the Word of God. Never make the Word of God say anything. Teach what the Word of God says. We should not be teaching something just because we think that's what the Word of God says. No, the Word of God is clear. Let's teach the Word of God. Let's teach it. You know, when I was growing up, I was not a reader. And I had to force myself to read. Of course, going through the institute classes and those things, there were many times where it was 4 and 5 books, and you had this stack of books about this thick, and it said, here you go, you've got 13 weeks to read these. I said, oh, beginning of 13 weeks, no problem. No problem at all. Well, then we get through about 8 or 9 weeks, and I haven't cracked open a book yet. Well, then I start thinking it's a problem, amen? But the truth is, the Lord has worked in my life. He's helped me with that. He's developed in me a greater love for reading because I found out that as I read and study about the Word of God, as I read and study about doctrines, as I read and study about what God has for us to learn, I have found myself, I have found my mind getting stirred. And we as teachers, we need to love reading. We need to go into things, of studying the Bible and reading these things so that we can know, more and more about our Lord and Savior. Many times my mind doesn't want to read, and I am in no way a 30 or 40 or 50 book a year person. That's just not who I am. I got a pastor that I know, and him and his wife and their son, they get together every year and they talk about the books that they read. Between the three of them, they read almost 200 books last year. I said, wow, that is amazing. But the truth of the matter is, you know what would do our minds some good? Cracking open a book and turning off the television. That would help us. Teachers need to be readers. Why is our society so dumbed down? Why do we have people who cannot communicate one with another? It's because the TV is on more than it's ever been. You know what you don't have to do when you watch TV? You don't have to think. Why is it that when a tragedy happens in a person's life, many times when there's something or stressful situations that are going on, they can just sit on the sofa and watch TV because their mind doesn't have to think through that? It does all the thinking for them. They just get to sit there and they're in this trance, if you will, while they're watching that. There's no thinking involved in watching TV. The brain is shut off. We as teachers need to read. Reading will stimulate creativity. It will force self-discipline. It will lead our brain into in-depth study. And when we are teaching others, we should be teaching them just what we know to be so. Can I say this tonight? Just because pastor says it doesn't make it truth. The Bible makes it truth. It should not be, Pastor Combs said this, so it must be here. No, what you're going to find many times is I will say these things. Well, the Bible says such and such, or in this place of the Bible it says this. Why? Because that is truth. That's the source of truth. And we need to fall in love with the Bible. When we hear something, we are to be exactly like the church in Berea. They heard something that was taught. The church in Berea was a great church. I want you to look at Acts chapter 17 in verse 11. And notice what the Bible says about the people there in Berea, the Bereans. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. This is something that I would love to be accused of. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says this: "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." Now notice this, they heard the teaching. They received the word. The word of God was given to them, sounded forth by the man of God. It was given to them, and notice what they did. "And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Now, they were hearing the scriptures from someone that humanly speaking, they believed to be trustworthy. But here's what they said: "I don't want to just go off of what some man says. I want to know it's what God says." And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. We should not just arbitrarily follow some man. We should know what the Bible says. Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We could preach a whole message on searching the scriptures daily, because many of us as believers, we would be guilty of not doing that. Not even opening the Bible, let alone studying out passages and wondering what the Bible says. The truth of the matter is, the way that our brains are wired is this. When we get out of church tonight, by tomorrow morning, we have no idea what was taught the night before. We have no idea what passage was turned to and all of that. Because many times, believers, we walk into the house of God and we say we're going there to learn from the Word of God. But the whole time during service, we've got other things going on in our mind. We've got the issues of life and all of that, and we cannot turn those things off in our mind. Therefore, we are not given to the Scriptures, and we're not searching the Scriptures daily. All we're doing is saying, well, the pastor said that. No, know it for yourself. Know what the Bible says. God's Word is truth. So notice, first of all, there we saw the goal of the teacher. Then we saw the characteristics of the teacher. Notice number three here, the burden of the teacher. The burden of the teacher. You know, a teacher should have a burden. Notice letter A there. The teacher should have a burden to know the Word of God and teach it. To know the Word of God and teach it. Something that every teacher must do, of course, as I mentioned earlier, is to know what they are teaching. We must teach the Bible. The Bible declares this, a study to show thyself approved unto God. We must be studying the Bible, and church, every one of us, we should be students of the Word. We're all learning something every day of our life. This world is teaching something, even subconsciously. When a child is growing up, if in that house as the child is growing up, if they've got this rock and roll music that's playing in there, you know what's happening? Subconsciously, that child is being trained to think like the lyrics of that song, like the message behind the beat of that song. This world is teaching all the time. We need to be in the Word of God. Know the Word of God and teach it. Notice letter B there. The burden of the teacher must be to rely on biblical authority. Rely on biblical authority. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 17. John 17, 17. Here in John chapter 17 and verse 17, notice what the Bible says here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We must rely on the truth of the Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says this. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. Praise the Lord for the truth of the Bible. You see, the Bible is not only the truth, but it's the source of truth. What is true comes from the very Word of God. God has given the pastor, of course, to be the human authority in the church, but what is sounded forth from this pulpit and in the Sunday school classes is not on the authority of Grace Baptist Church. It's not on the authority of Pastor Combs. It's not on the authority of so-and-so Sunday school teacher. No, because we're not the source of truth. Each and every one of us, we should be gleaning from and teaching from the source of truth, which is the Word of God. We must rely on the biblical authority. You know what you're going to find many times, and I've heard this, and maybe you have as well. Someone's going to say this when you're telling them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll say this, well, who do you think you are telling me that? You know, it's a lot easier to say, well, it's not my words, it's the words of God. What the Word of God says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, because it's not about what we say. Whenever the gift of teaching is spoken, think about this. Whenever the gift of teaching is spoken of in the Bible, it is always referring to the teaching of the Scriptures. Always. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, just for reference sake here this evening. 1 Timothy 3, 16. let me go to 2 Timothy 3, 16. That's where it's at. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's that talking about? That instruction that is talking about there. It's talking about the Word of God. When we are to teach someone, it is always talking about the Word of God. You know what we want to teach people about? We want to teach people about our thoughts of the Bible. It shouldn't be that way. Because it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the Bible says. Notice letter C there, the burden of the teacher. It must be to teach, notice here, enthusiastically. We should not be teaching the Bible in some way that in which the characteristic could be thought of as Eeyore off of Winnie the Pooh. But that's how many people teach, isn't it? They act like it's just a it's such a drag down to have to go and teach the Word of God. Well, I have to do this, and I signed up for this, and I have to go tell these people. No, it should be a joy to teach the Word of God. We should teach it with joy because of what we're handling there. Something that we've all experienced is that it is hard to get excited about something that the teacher is not excited about. It's hard to get excited about that. How many have ever sat under a dry teacher? I've sat under a dry teacher before. And you know what I remember from their class? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What they may have been saying, it may have been true. And you may say, well, Pastor Combs, you should just be listening to the truth. Yes, I should. I should be listening to the truth, and I've got work to do. I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, when somebody is happy and enthusiastic about what they're teaching, it's a lot easier to glean that truth from them. Because you know that they're excited about this. Many people walk up to a door, and as they're walking up there, it looks like all is wrong with the world. It looks like there's just a rain cloud over top of them. Can I tell you this? People are not going to want to listen to what you have to say when you walk up there. You know what I love seeing when we're out knocking on doors? Oftentimes, when we were, of course, in the communities, oftentimes we had people on each side of the street. I loved looking across the community and seeing people, different ones from the church teamed up with who they were teamed up with. I loved seeing them walking down the sidewalk, talking one with another, conversing and smiling and all of that. We have a good time out soul winning. Amen. If you haven't went with us, come out with us sometime. You'll have a great time as well. But I love seeing that because that's the joy of the Lord. The truth is, when we are delivering the Word of God, the same truth can be delivered from an excited teacher or from a dry teacher. The same truth. But it's more likely to be heard by the excited teacher than it is from the dry. We need to be happy about what the Lord has done for us. Many people say, well, that's just not who I am, preacher. I'm just, this is just who I am. I don't know how to be happy. If I hand you $1 million, you'd be happy. You'd change the tune real quick, wouldn't you? Well, preacher, you just don't understand. This is just who I am. It may have been who you were, but the Bible says that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Amen? We used to walk around and we had nothing to smile about before we were saved. We have something to smile about now. Praise the Lord. Get excited talking about the Lord. Amen. We must be enthusiastic about what God has done for us. As we teach people about the Word of God, we get excited about what God has shown us from the Word of God, and that will encourage them as well to learn more about the Bible. We should be encouraging each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. The burden of every teacher should be to know the Bible for themselves and are able to teach it to others and get them excited about it as well. I want you to look over at the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. I'm over in Matthew chapter 19. I said, that doesn't look right. Honor thy father and thy mother. But my verse was saying there. Let me get back here to Matthew chapter 5. It's a great verse, but it's not what we're preaching tonight, amen? Maybe somebody needs to hear that. But Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. All right, here we go. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We should do and teach the commandments of God. We should not be walking around like we're defeated because the Bible says that we are made more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior. We should be excited about what God has done for us. A teacher must teach enthusiastically. And then notice number four there on the handout there. And these last couple here will be very, very quick here. Notice the pitfalls of a teacher. The pitfalls of a teacher. You know, no matter what it is, no matter what we encounter, the truth is, no matter what we do, there are two ways to do it. There's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. No matter what it is. But those ways are not determined by us. Those ways are determined by the Word of God. There may be some things that are not the way that one person may prefer, but if it is not against the principles of the Word of God, can I tell you this? It's not wrong. We need to follow what the Word of God says. For too long, we have a fought between churches, and well, they do this way, and they do that way, and you wouldn't believe the color carpet in that church, and you wouldn't believe what's going on over here. I'm not talking about doctrinal things tonight. I'm talking about things that are not against the Bible. They just may not be our preference. The truth of the matter is, if it isn't against the principles of the Word of God, it's not wrong. But there are some mistakes and temptations that teachers may have, and they must be on guard from these things. Notice when a person is teaching something, the devil's going to attack. There is a right way to teach, there's a wrong way to teach. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. But the truth of the matter is, a teacher, notice letter A there, a teacher should never measure one's spirituality by their amount of Bible knowledge. Shouldn't do that. If you're here and the Lord's working on your heart tonight, or maybe He will be working on your heart, understand this, if the Lord leads you to teach somewhere, understand there's going to be people at all different levels of what we would consider their spiritual life. You know, these signs of a growing church is not a church in which you walk into and everyone is dressed like Christians. That's not the signs of a growing church. Now, should we dress like Christians? Yes, we should. We should have biblical dress standards. We should stick to those things. But the signs of a growing church are people at all different steps in their spiritual life. That's the signs of a growing church. And a teacher must understand that they should never measure one's spirituality by the amount of biblical knowledge. It is not our job to decide how spiritual another person is. God is the only one who knows a person's heart. All we can do is see the outside. And can I tell you this? We have enough problems worrying about our wicked heart. We don't have time to worry about someone else. Let's let the Lord do a work in our heart. But as you teach someone, understand this, that the Lord can be working on the inside. You may not see it on the outside, but the Lord's working. The Lord's doing a great work there. Notice also letter B there. A teacher should not get discouraged over a lack of response. Teachers should not get discouraged over a lack of response. Listen, there's going to be times that you are excited about what the Lord is speaking to you about, and excited how to tell it to your class or to the ones that you're teaching. And as the teacher, you give it your all, and you feel like you hit a home run. You feel like you did everything that you were supposed to do. You proclaimed the truth. You gave the gospel. And when you give the prayer at the end, whether it's an invitation or just a show of hands on how if the Lord spoke to people's hearts many times, it's this. Crickets. Nothing. Nothing going on. A teacher should not get discouraged over the lack of response. Remember what I said in that last subpoint there? The Lord is doing a work on the inside that we cannot see. The Lord does a work on the inside of us as well, if we allow Him. The devil is going to try to get into your mind, but we must keep our eyes on the prize. Some people, they're not going to like what is being done. They may voice their opinion about it. Some may love what's being done, and they may tell you all about it. But understand this, as a teacher or a pastor, you must be numb to compliments and also numb to complaints if you're teaching what the Bible says about that subject. You know what I found is when you preach a hard Bible message, you're going to have people that come to you, Pastor, that was a wonderful message, son. That was a wonderful message today. We need to hear that. And then right behind them, I can't believe you preached. Well, don't you know what I'm going through? Or somebody said, you preach that because you know what's going on in my life. No, preach because it's what the Bible says, amen. You preach it because God knows what's going on. Be numb to complaints and compliments. If you're following the Lord and doing what God wants you to do, when someone is complaining about it, understand this. They're not complaining about you. They're complaining about God. And we must understand that. Keep following the Lord. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for the Lord. And the truth is that the truth of doing it for the Lord should be the current that is flowing through our teaching. It's for His glory, not for our glory. Also, I don't have this on your handout there, but also notice a teacher should guard themselves against pride. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. There's an awful lot of times when people are teaching something and they look at themselves like they're something because of their knowledge. Well, notice what the Bible says about that. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Notice, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. It's all the knowledge does. It just puffs you up. That's it. We don't need anything else to build our pride any higher than it already is. Understand, we're doing this for God. We're doing it for His glory. Guard yourself against pride. And then notice lastly, and we'll be done. We've just got a few scriptures to turn to, and we'll be done here this evening. Notice biblical examples of teachers. Biblical examples of teachers. Notice, of course, first of all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And then Matthew chapter 28 we'll go to after that, and then the book of Acts. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says this, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people." Jesus was a teacher. We're told to be like Christ. Therefore, we should be teachers, teaching others also, helping others to understand what the Bible says. We also see with the disciples and the church there in Matthew chapter 28, and verse 20, we read that earlier here, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Look at Acts chapter 5 in verse 25. Acts chapter 5 and verse 25. And then we'll just turn to one other one after this. Acts chapter 5, verse 25, the Bible says this, "Then came one and told, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." These are men that, notice, they were in prison. Why were they teaching the people? Because remember what we talked about, how a teacher is going to have a burden? These people, their burden for teaching the Word of God to others outweighed their fear of going back to prison. And that should be ours as well. You see, we see that in the apostles there. And then one more, Acts chapter 15 and verse 35. Acts chapter 15 and verse 35. Notice we see here Paul and Barnabas. Notice, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." There was teaching going on. There was teaching of the Word of God that was going on. We see that Christ was teaching it. The disciples in the church were teaching it. The apostles were teaching it. Paul and Barnabas were teaching the Word of God. Church, we are called to declare the truth. But there are certain ones who have been given the gift of teaching. We're all told to proclaim the gospel. We are all told to sound forth the Word of God. But maybe that's you here tonight that has been given this gift of teaching. Can I plead with you to do this? Allow the Lord to use you. Allow the Lord to guide your steps. Maybe you're here, you're not sure what your spiritual gift is. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about teaching. Do not just arbitrarily deny the gift. Many times through preaching through the gifts of the Spirit, you'll have people like this. "Well, Lord, I'm fine if this is my gift, but I don't want to do that." Shouldn't be that way. Our spiritual gift should be, "Lord, if that's what you would have me to do, I know that you will make me able. I know that you'll help me with that." Tell the Lord that if that's what He wants you to do, then you will do that because you are completely yielded to Him. Church, this world needs teachers. Our churches need teachers. Each and every one of us, we need people that will teach us what the Word of God says. And for too long, we have allowed other people to step up when we've been unwilling to do it ourselves. Notice I didn't say unable to do it. I said unwilling. Each and every one of us can teach someone. But are we willing to do that? It's my hope and my prayer that each and every one of us, no matter what the spiritual gift is, whether it's the gift of the pastor or the gift of the teacher, or as we continue on through these gifts, whatever that gift is, that the Lord would just work in each and every one of our hearts and help us to yield to that, yield to the Lord's power in that, and understand that it's only through the Holy Spirit we can do that anyway. You can't do anything without God. Let's yield to Him, no matter what the gift may be that He's given to us. Let's allow Him to do a work in our